May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. A couple of years back, on my way to church one morning, I happened to notice outside of a fitness club, they had one of those sandwich board signs like we use for chocolate festival. And on it, this fitness club was prone to put up inspirational sayings. And on this particular Sunday morning, they had put up one that said, "Discover the meaning of life, achievement." I thought of that this week as I was reading our stories, because I think that that's probably not what Jesus would have said is the meaning of life. It is certainly true that most of us admire people who are successful. We certainly, as a culture, admire people whose success has translated into great wealth and the accumulation of many possessions. But our readings today all point us towards the folly of making that our quest for the meaning of life. The writer of Ecclesiastes calls it vanity. The word in Greek is actually, Hebrew, is somewhat hard to translate. It's one of those words with multiple meanings. But it means something that is impossible to fully grasp. Mist or vapor or something that as soon as you reach out for it vanishes away. And he writes to someone who has spent his life in pursuit of things that he was assured would make him successful. He's toiled for wealth, he's toiled for wisdom, he's toiled for status and admiration. And he comes to a point where he realizes that none of that means anything. None of that gives his life meaning. The psalmist recognizes it as well, that the goods cannot save us. All of these things that we accumulate cannot help us. And we get it in our gospel today. In Jesus, who, when asked to arbitrate a family dispute over who gets what, and if you've ever been involved in a state dispute, you know those are the very nastiest kinds of disputes. When asked, throws up his hand and says, "Why is that my job? Who the heck cares?" And he reminds us about the wealth. He reminds us of the limits of accumulation. This is one of those parables that is not actually that subtle. A lot of the times we read Jesus' parables when we find ourselves scratching our head and going, "I wonder what he's talking about." This time around, you probably don't need me to tell you that Jesus is suggesting that the pursuit of wealth is not actually the meaning and the purpose of our lives. But it's worth thinking a little bit about anyway. Because what is it exactly in this story that is the problem? In Luke's gospel, wealth is often identified as an obstacle to a faithful life. Luke clearly is not fond of rich people. And he remembers clearly those times when Jesus points out the ways in which wealth gets in the way of people pursuing a godly and faithful life. The wealth and prosperity are not uniformly viewed as negative in the Bible. In fact, in many places in the Bible, wealth is viewed as a blessing from God. Indeed, it's not this man's crop that is the problem. An abundant crop, a bountiful harvest, is something only God can give. The gift of wealth and prosperity is a blessing. It's meant to be a blessing. So how does this guy, this fool, get it wrong? Well, as you read this story, you may notice a few things. The first is, at no point does God enter into this guy's mind. This guy doesn't say, "Oh,
for what he has.
No, he immediately leads to,
how do I hold on to it?
How can I keep all of this? I don't have enough room, I don't have big enough barns. How am I?
You'll note the word, it pops up a lot.
I? How am I going to keep it?
Aha, he says,
I can build bigger barns, I can keep it all. I can do this. And then he talks to himself. The man in that parable receives this glorious, wonderful blessing from God, this enormous wealth, and all he can think about is what he is going to do with it, how he is going to enjoy it, how he can hold on to it. He's missed something fairly important along the way. Wealth, you see, is a blessing only if it's a blessing to others as well as to ourselves. Audrey West writes, to be sure, saving for future material needs is one component of proper stewardship of God's bounty. Appropriate concern for the future is balanced, however, with the injunction to give glory to God and to care for one's neighbor, to provide for the poor and the marginalized, for those without access to the world's wealth, or even to the basic needs of survival. The problem, the sin here, is not that he has great wealth, it's that he thinks it's only for him. He thinks that he's the one who has earned the success, and he doesn't have to share. He thinks that he's found security and safety, and he is all set. And then he discovers exactly what the author of Ecclesiastes discovered. Really, in the end, none of it matters. He has pursued and sought after the wrong goals, the wrong things. He has sought to make his own life comfortable, and he hasn't sought after those things which God requires of us. He has not loved his neighbor as himself. He has not loved God with his whole heart. And so no matter how great his riches or how big his barns, he finds himself utterly and completely poor. Most of us do not have to worry about tearing down our barns to store more crops. Most of us will have more modest success, more modest wealth. But it's always worth asking, how are we sharing the blessings we do have? Because all of us have blessings, right? If we don't have material wealth, we're blessed with friends, we're blessed with people who love us and who love and people who we love. We are blessed with time and the opportunity to be together. And yes, a lot of us are blessed with material wealth, at least enough to share. If we want to be rich toward God, then we need to remember that those blessings are gifts from God, and that they're gifts of God so that we can share them, so that we can share our love with others, so we can share our time with others, so we can share our material possessions with others. It is, in fact, our orientation, our attitude, where we seek to go and what we seek to have and why that is important. Because we can't take it with us. Our life is not measured by the abundance of our possessions. But if you want to be truly rich, if you want to be rich before God, then you'll cultivate an attitude of sharing. And when you find that bumper crop, when we find that our barns are already bursting and there's more of
share this.
What can we do with this that will share God's bounty with others?
Amen.
Amen.